to get it done.
Arizona News Radio Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano says SB 1070 might hamper their plans to make communities safer in their way.
We are trying to get out more messages about the ability of visas for those who are witnesses, those who are victims who have come forward.
Maricopa County Supervisor Mary Rose Wilcox is upset that Sheriff Joe Arpaio has refused a federal monitor amid allegations of racial profiling.
Irresponsible act by an elected official who is only thinking of himself.
She wants to cut off funding to his office. Senator John McCain says it's time for Rick Santorum to end his bid for the White House.
I also hope that Rick Santorum would understand that it's time for a graceful exit.
Attorney General Tom Horn continues to deny any wrongdoing amid allegations that he improperly interfaced with an independent committee.
I've been subjected to a major smear. It's been on the front pages of all the major state papers, prominent in the media.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of In-N-Out Burger, 4 o'clock hour. We still have that police investigation, University Drive westbound at 40th. The whole intersection is closed. Also look for a rollover accident southbound Loop 101 at McDowell. And a couple of collisions on the eastbound US 60. That one at McClintock still under investigation. We have another one at Mill Avenue. In-N-Out Burger, no microwaves, no freezers, because fresh never gets old. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, looking for that 90-degree temperature again tomorrow afternoon. On Friday, though, we have one of those breezy, dry, cold fronts. That'll take us back to 82, but we rebound quickly into the weekend, close to 90. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News time is 4:05. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 82 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
It's born out of raw emotion. It can't be hidden or controlled. You wear it without even knowing. Your game face. And the intense, high-flying thrills of Phoenix Suns basketball are sure to bring it out. Make it a Suns family game night. Get 4 tickets and $20 in Gorilla Bucks for as low as $60. On sale now at suns.com/value or 1-800-4-NBA-TICKS. Your Phoenix Suns, presented by Casino Arizona.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where agents' intellects are focused like laser beams, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? There is no reward for turning 50. The Big 5-0. False. By sitting down with a Farmer's agent, you can get access to the Farmer's 50-plus discount and many others that could save you hundreds on your home insurance. But other than that, it's mostly just slippers and bingo.
We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a Farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Every passing day, we are taking one step closer to a dictatorship. And we don't even know who the real dictators are.
It's strange that we've never read of this in the newspapers.
As far as I know, we are not yet a part of the Soviet Union.
Remember, you're in Washington. Stop trying to be reasonable about money.
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. Today we're talking with Tom Jenny, who's the Arizona Director for Americans for Prosperity. You may not have heard of Americans for Prosperity. They are, I think according to Wikipedia, one of the most influential groups, influential conservative groups nationally. We're honored to have Mr. Jenny on the show. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
Glad to be here.
Why don't you start by telling us, Americans for Prosperity, it's a national group. How long has it been around?
We've been around since 2004. The Arizona chapter of Americans for Prosperity has been around in some form as the Arizona Federation of Taxpayers since about 1980. So we've been doing this longer even than the national organization around here.
Okay. Who are the organization's leaders?
Our national chairman of the Americans for Prosperity Foundation is a guy named David Koch, who I'm sure people have heard of. The guy who runs the organization on a day-to-day basis is a guy named Tim Phillips out of South Carolina, and Tim Phillips is our president.
David Koch, one of the Koch brothers.
Yes, one of the famous Koch brothers.
Yeah, one of the billionaires.
With a B.
Yeah, with a B. So what are the goals of Americans for Prosperity?
At the national level, we're looking at repealing Obamacare, We're looking at shutting down the onerous regulations and the regulatory assault of the Obama administration. So we're talking about the EPA. We're talking about NLRB. We're talking about SEC. We're talking about the Federal Communications Commission. All of these government agencies which have been unleashed by this administration to attack American business and attack free enterprise in this country. So we're attacking on that front. We're also very concerned that this country is bankrupt. And that we've got to do something about that.
You said your goal is to shut them down, and you named the NLRB for one. That of course isn't something that Obama started. That's been around for a while, and you want to be the guys that finally get rid of it.
We don't want to. Obviously, at some point, as long as you've got these laws from the 30s or 40s, you're probably going to need somebody to administer them. But what we really don't want is we don't want these labor union activists running the NLRB and suing companies like Boeing because they want to move to South Carolina. I mean, where in the world does the government get off telling a company where it can set up a factory? That's insane. So we want to stop that business. We want to stop their assault on Arizona. They've sued Arizona. The voters of Arizona said, hey, we think people who are in union elections should have secret elections. We should have secret ballots. We shouldn't have a big heavy coming by and writing our names down whether we want to join a union or not. We want to be able to have that vote in secret. So that's what we, the people of Arizona, decided a couple of years ago. And yet the NLRB is suing Arizona because they don't like the fact that we want to have secrecy and privacy in union elections.
Mm-hmm. So what does Americans for Prosperity do, I suppose, to accomplish those goals?
We are a grassroots organization. That's what differentiates us from a lot of things you've heard. You know about think tanks. You know about conservative think tanks, libertarian think tanks, free market think tanks. We don't do a lot of thinking. We do a lot of doing. And we get out there with all kinds of action in order to try to change policies. So we're the boots on the ground, really. One way to think about us is we are the NRA of fiscal conservatism in America.
I like that. How many members do you have?
The national total is up over 2 million now, and the total here in Arizona is over 60,000.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk about this later in the show. I know that the administration, Barack Obama's administration, has had some harsh words for your organization. I have a quote here where the administration called Americans for Prosperity a, quote, special interest front group run by the oil billionaire Koch brothers. The administration also said that Americans for Prosperity is, quote, obsessed with making Barack Obama a one-term president, end quote. So what is your response to that?
Well, I don't want to be too harsh on Mr. Obama. He's our best fundraiser. He mentioned us 17 times during the election cycle in 2010, and a ton of people called us out of the blue and said, hey, who are you guys? I want to write you a check. So I don't want to beat up on the guy too much. He's helping to keep a roof over my head. No, but seriously, this is one of those things that people get into. They create a boogeyman. They say, oh, you're a special interest. I mean, we're one of the most amazingly not special interest groups out there. We're out there for broad tax cuts here, especially here in Arizona. For instance, I'm down there at the legislature often trying to get broad tax cuts. We are not trying to get special interest tax cuts. You know, in fact, we oppose special interest tax cuts and tax credits that are directed to only one company. We think that's unfair. We think that's government picking winners and losers. We want the government to cut everybody's taxes across the board. And this whole billionaire thing is absolutely silly. I mean, the left, they've got their George Soros. They've got whoever that clown is that did Solyndra is probably losing a lot of money. He's probably not a billionaire anymore. But anyway, you can play, oh, this is my billionaire and that's your billionaire and my billionaire versus your billionaire. But the reality is there's people on the ground, and I'll concede this on the left. There's a lot of people on the ground on the left who, they signed up for MoveOn.org. They sign up for these things, and they didn't do it because George Soros paid them to. It's because they actually believe this stuff. And I think it's sad. We'll try to change their minds. But I think this whole billionaire versus billionaire thing is really silly. We've got real people in America who disagree on policy issues.
I think that's a fair comment. There's a lot of people who are members of this organization who contribute to it besides a couple billionaires. And even so, I mean, there's billionaires on both sides is your point. So what's the difference?
Yeah, all those rich people in Hollywood are given to move on
that's
and all these other
point.
Things.
So. That's a good point. We'll talk later in the show about the position your organization takes on some bills moving through the legislature. Before we get to that, though, we'll keep it real broad, and I'll just ask you what your organization's position is on some of these broader issues. For example, is smaller government the rallying cry of Americans for prosperity? Is that the main thing you stand for? Is smaller government?
In a nutshell, yes. Sometimes we distinguish between small government and limited government. It's very important to have a place like Somalia, for instance, has small government. It has almost no government. it also has no economy to speak of.
Good
you know,
point.
So we're very much in favor of limited government. We want government that stays within the necessary boundaries, that is there to enforce the rules, but enforce fair rules, understandable rules, rules that help business and free enterprise work, not a bunch of rules that are designed to have lawyers jumping on our backs.
Yeah. By the way, you know, even though we're no longer the conservative talk radio station, we're the independent talk radio station, feel free to call in and talk to us about some of these conservative issues. Number 602-277-KFNX, that's 602-277-5369. We're talking with Tom Jenny, who's the director of Americans for Prosperity in Arizona. We got a couple minutes here before the break. Let me ask you this, Tom. How can we calculate proper amounts of taxation, or does your organization believe in a flat tax? That's one of those issues that for me, you know, I actually do a lot of work in tax law, and I still feel like it's above my head. But what position does your organization take on that?
At the national level, we don't really pick between flat tax and fair tax. We like both of those proposals. We just believe something serious needs to happen to the American income tax code. It's crazy the way it is. And it's a Swiss cheese factory. You know, there's just amazing amounts of special interest carve-outs and whatnot in our tax code. So either way we do it, whether we go to a flat tax that's fair or we go to a fair tax that doesn't include an income tax at all, if we go to some kind of national consumption tax and abolish the income tax, either way we're happy. At the state level, it's a little bit different in that the attempt to create a flat tax here in Arizona pretty much means you have to raise taxes on the lowest bracket, on people who have never been taxed before, and we don't like that. We don't like the idea of taxing people who have never been taxed before, at least on the income tax level here in Arizona. So that's a bit of a problem here. Here in Arizona, we really think what we need to do is get rid of the income tax altogether and the corporate income tax here and go to a much broader-based consumption tax.
Wow.
You know, if you look at what really drives an economy, it really helps to have a port. We don't have a port.
Right.
It really helps to have a lot of vacant, at least available land.
Yeah.
We don't have available land. The federal government, the tribes, and state, they own it all.
Okay. All right, we're talking with Tom Jenny, Director of Americans for Prosperity here in Arizona. We have to take a break, but this is Jack Wilencheck on KFNX 1100 AM, Independent Talk Radio. And we'll see you after the break.
Hi, this is Ron Sherman, live and local on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. For a hard line on the day's events, listen in. We'll talk about what's impacting your life today. 1 to 3 on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilencheck & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilencheck & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient-dense, locally grown produce and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma Culture is our name and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Join me, Catherine Raker, of Let's Just Talk on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. with interesting guests and topics ranging from the latest in technology, fashion, authors, and politics on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacations, they'll let me alone. They spy on me, I try to hide, they won't let me alone. They persecute
me. Welcome back to Legalese, your host Jack Wilinchek. Today on the show, we're talking about Americans for Prosperity, which is a very powerful conservative group in the country, powerful enough to bring President Obama out to criticize them in public. We've got the Arizona director for the organization here in studio, Mr. Tom Jenny. Before we went to the break, we were talking taxation. I think there was something else you said you wanted to get in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for letting me come back on this. The whole point is, you know, Arizona doesn't have a port, so we're not doing a lot of huge export-import stuff right here. Texas does, by the way. And we don't have a lot of free and available land. A huge portion of our land is taken up by government land. So the biggest area where we can make a difference is in tax policy.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this. You know, one of the things my producer said to me before the show, he said that you guys are known for having some extreme positions on things. So let me ask you, what in your opinion are your most extreme positions?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Barry Goldwater. Yeah.
I don't really think – the organization, I don't think, takes a lot of extreme positions. We have fairly commonsensical positions. You look at something like the Department of Education, which was spending $826 billion over a 10-year period, you know, so it's maybe $80 billion a year. You look at that, and it's entirely wasted. Talk to educational professionals, and they'll tell you they get 10% of their money from the federal government, and they get half of their paperwork. It doesn't make any sense. You look at test scores. Since the Federal Department of Education was created, and the test scores are flat, they have done absolutely nothing for education in America. So, you know, that may seem extreme to get rid of the entire Federal Department of Education, but, you know,
it has to be done.
It's a worthless department.
Okay. I hear you. What areas of government in general does Americans for Prosperity believe that we can live without? I guess we just mentioned one of them. What other areas are you guys looking to get rid of?
The Department of Agriculture eventually is something. The Federal Department of Agriculture is essentially it's welfare for millionaire farmers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have – we have some small farmers left.
Yeah, let me just say real quick, you know, I was just involved in a case involving a big cotton farm and farming family. And, you know, the head of the family never accepted – I think that they call it the cotton base. It's some kind of a subsidy. In all of his years of farming, one of the most successful cotton farmers in Arizona, he never accepted the cotton base. The guy had never even accepted Social Security personally before he died. You know, I think there's a lot to be said for that. But go on. You said
if you really want to help small farmers and family farmers in America, the thing we should do is get rid of the estate tax.
Yeah, well, incidentally, it was an estate tax case. Yeah.
I mean, this is the silly thing. You know, and so you've got all these corporations that are set up and religious groups that set up as a corporation, and they're allowed to pass on without tax penalties. They're allowed to pass on their farmlands to their kids, but family farmers can't.
Yeah.
This is absurd.
Yeah, and it, I'll tell you right now, it causes a heck of a lot of very painful and very expensive litigation, too. But I interrupted you there. Go ahead. We were talking about areas of the government that your organization wants to take on, wants to get rid of. You mentioned the Department of Agriculture.
Of the subsidies that exist, in fact, really all the subsidies that exist through the U.S. Federal Department of Energy are completely wasteful. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you've seen that email where it has the quotes from LBJ, how we were going to become energy independent. And Nixon promised we're going to be energy independent, and Ford promised, and Carter promised, and they've created this whole raft of subsidies to try to make America energy independent, and it hasn't happened. We're just tossing money at these industries. So
yeah.
A lot of times we talk to our left-wing environmental friends, and they say, "Oh, you just want to get rid of the subsidies, the wasteful subsidies to solar and to wind power and some of this other stuff." And I say, "No, we want to get rid of all of the subsidies. We're happy to get rid of the petroleum subsidies."
Yeah, on that subject, I mean, I just bought an electric car recently, and if you buy an electric car, there's some subsidy floating around there somewhere where you can get an electrical charging station installed at your office or at your place of business, which I know costs the government maybe $10,000, which you don't pay for, and probably only benefits you and the very few other, you know, electric car owners in the valley. Some organization came out and put in car charging stations at our offices, free to us, and I know I'm the only one that uses them under some kind of government subsidy. That convinced me that there's a lot of there's a lot of waste out there that I guess benefits me, but still, it's waste nevertheless.
Yeah, we're not against AFP is not against electric cars, and we're not against solar power. We just want to make sure that those things are competing fair and square in the marketplace and not being subsidized by government.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything else you want to add on that list of areas of government that we can do without?
Well, it's a very, very
long list.
It's a long
list for you guys,
yeah,
isn't
it? We could go on and on. I mean, there's almost nothing the Federal Department of Commerce does is worthwhile. You could just keep our short-term list looks a lot like Ron Paul's list. I can't remember. We want to get rid of 6 federal departments. He wants to get rid of 5 or something like that. But it's fairly close on that one.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about national debt. Of course, the United States borrows money to meet its budgets. Does your organization, Americans for Prosperity, see the need to borrow money on a national level? Do you want to see that borrowing stop completely?
This is one of those things. The short answer is yes and no. Short term, we're going to keep borrowing. That's all there is to it. I know a lot of people out there are upset about the debt ceiling. And about the debt ceiling vote and the people who voted for the debt ceiling vote and all that. The reality is the country was going to raise that debt ceiling. I mean, when you've got well over 40% of your budget is in the red, you can't suddenly cut 40% of the U.S. government in a single year so that you don't have to raise the debt ceiling. I mean, you make Ron Paul military dictator of this country, and I argue that he will probably not be able to cut 40%. And this is something I'm sorry to put you on the spot. This is kind of unfair to do this.
No, go ahead.
But I go around the state asking people, I say, does anybody know the last time the U.S. government cut 40% of its budget in a single year?
No.
1946.
1946, yeah, during
most of the that's a time the war was over. Most of our federal budget was the war effort, and we suddenly won the war. Yeah. And we sent all the boys home, stopped paying them, and we turned off the motors on the tanks and the airplanes and the boats. And in many cases, we left them sitting right where they were, so they stopped burning gasoline. That's how you cut 40% in 1 year. We're not going to do that. We have so many people right now who are addicted to government subsidies, in healthcare especially. We've got people on Social Security. That's $1 trillion. Are we suddenly going to cut that? And I think the answer is no. So I think we're with the Paul Ryan plan, which is that we've got to keep our promises right now to people, especially those over 55 who are dependent on these things. And then we've got to figure out a way to get this country off of those subsidies for the long run.
Hmm. All right. Regarding how a property owner can actually use their property, this is a kind of a funny question I have here for my producer. Do you believe homeowners associations are good or bad? Have you taken a particular stance on that, or
we do in a very minor way. We usually don't put anything out about it during the legislative session, but every year we do a scorecard on the state legislature, and we've been doing that. The Arizona Federation of Taxpayers has been doing that for 28 years now or something. But so we have this scorecard we do on the legislature, and you can find it at aztaxpayers.org. That's aztaxpayers.org. But at the end of the year, we'll go back and look. And every single year, the legislators are adding more and more little rules to the way that HOAs are run. And originally, the whole point of the HOA was that you sign up for it, you sign on the dotted line, and you sign up for the CC&Rs, and you sign up to be ruled by whoever gets on that board,
right.
And you're taking a risk. The problem now is that we're now in a gray area where the legislature has added so many restrictions that because of people's complaints, that this is now going back. It's no longer a private contractual thing. It's now kind of a quasi-governmental thing. So now a lot of people are in the gray area, and people don't read the they don't read the fine print, and they don't seem to understand, or maybe they just want the government to help them out when they get a bad board. So it's almost like we're going to have to create something called a real HOA going forward. So, okay, this is for real. We have these sort of now increasingly regulated HOAs over here, but you're about to sign on to, you know, if you
a
buy
a real private
this
HOA,
is a truly, you know. and in big bold letters, you know, watch your butt because this is what you're signing up for.
Yeah, I like that idea. I pay over $450 a month to my HOA because I live in one of those big high rises downtown. I think that should be legal to begin with. But, yeah, I'm bothered by that, too, about, you know, in the law they talk about how HOAs can be kind of like a miniature, you know, municipal authority, kind of like a miniature, you know, city council. They can have a lot more authority than they probably should have.
There's also a bit of a problem when you get out to these outlying cities where a lot of the development is basically mandated to be HOA. Mm-hmm. So you start to get to a problem where, in a way, the government has mandated the creation of HOAs. And in some ways, it's good because if people sign up for an HOA and a properly functioning HOA, it provides a lot of what we call public goods. You get streets that are well paved. You get streets that are clean. You have very little in the way of litter problems. You have nice parks and public areas. So it can be a real benefit. But I have some problems with the idea that in some places, the only place you can possibly live is an HOA.
Yeah, I get you. You know, where it's there's probably no need for one, except the fact the government is requiring there to be one. Your organization's position is that, you know, why even have one to begin with? I think that's pretty sensible. All right, I know we have to take a break here in about 30 seconds or maybe 40 seconds. I think we can probably squeeze in another comment here on something. We'll talk about Obamacare, I think, when we get back from the break. I imagine it's safe to say the Americans for Prosperity, your organization, is against the President's Affordable Health Care Act. Would that be safe to say?
Yes, Affordable Health Care Act. That's what we call Obamacare.
that's the official term. Okay, this is Jack Willinchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
NBC News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. They're counting their blessings in the Dallas area today following yesterday's violent tornadoes that caused huge damage, but no fatalities. NBC's Jay Gray says the cleanup job that lies ahead is massive.
Survivors are working through what's left of their homes and the shock of what happened here. Miles of debris stretch out across dozens of neighborhoods in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Hundreds of homes and lives torn apart.
Thousands of travelers are still facing delays and canceled flights at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport as a result of the severe weather. One estimate indicated 50,000 travelers had flights canceled yesterday. 30,000 are facing the same problem today due to the storms. A former New Orleans police officer has been sentenced to 65 years in prison. He was among five former officers sentenced today for their roles in the deadly shootings of unarmed residents following Hurricane Katrina. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has suffered a triple-digit loss for only the second time this year. The indicator was down 125 points. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, DPS officer injured, a suspect in the incident in custody.
The suspect backed into our motor officer, knocking him to the ground, and at the same time, one of our patrol cars got in front of him. The motor officer got up and saw the vehicle was ramming our patrol car and shot three rounds at him, hitting the vehicle and not the suspect.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery is upset the federal government still giving him no information about racial profiling allegations against Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
This posturing, this playing hiding the ball in the context of civil litigation is disgusting.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano in Phoenix. She wants everyone to improve their skills in spite of SB 1070.
We want to focus on those who've committed crimes, on those who are fugitives, on those who we pick up right at the border, on those who are national security threats.
ADOT warning about security scammers.
Not do just a general search on the internet because we really believe that that's what's going on.
George Tanner, Arizona.
This check of York Havenix Traffic, service of the Bakers of Centrum. We still have that police closure, folks. That is westbound University at 40th Street. Also, we have an accident southbound I-17 between, it's at 4th between 7th and Central. And look for a serious accident, 99th Avenue at Camelback. With quality ingredients backed by 30 years of science, so you know you're at your best. Centrum, always your most complete. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center looking for that 90-degree temperature again tomorrow afternoon. On Friday, though, we have one of those breezy, dry, cold fronts. That'll take us back to 82, but we rebound quickly into the weekend close to 90. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 82 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Right now at My Trade America, you can get a barter line of credit from $2,000 to $50,000 with no credit check. We'll help you boost your business big time to lower your cash costs and generate new sales. With services available like advertising, website design, signage and bookkeeping, and personal services like restaurant, auto repair, and vacation rentals, get the barter line of credit you need today, $2,000 to $50,000 at My Trade America, mytradeamerica.com. Fees and restrictions apply.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
You're not dissing Varney, are you?
Sounds no, like it. No, of course not.
Why are we hating on Varney?
I just hate quizzes. Tell me what you know. Don't quiz me on it.
Would you believe $2.7
billion,
Iris? Would you believe it?
$2.7 billion!
That is really good, Dagan.
Listen to Imus in the Morning, Monday through Friday, here on KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. We're talking with Tom Jenny, who's the Arizona Director for Americans for Prosperity, which is one of the most powerful conservative groups in the nation. And we've been talking about various conservative issues. Right before we took our break, we touched on Obamacare. Tom, you were telling me over the break that a lot of people refuse to call it by its real name, which is what, the Affordable Health Care Act. I guess we'll just refer to we'll refer to it as Obamacare for the rest of the show for convenience, if nothing else. But I take it your organization is opposed to Obamacare. Why don't you talk about the position that Americans for Prosperity takes on that?
Well, this is the biggest piece of big government legislation in 70 years. I mean, this is really big, especially when you're talking about the individual mandate. You're talking about the federal government basically taking over eventually every health insurance plan in the country. We've currently got government subsidized health care for people who are over the age of 65, and that's a big mess, and it's bankrupt. It's the biggest thing bankrupting this country. That's Medicare. You've also got government subsidized health care Medicaid, which is for people who are at the bottom end of the food chain. And arguably, you know, you can take my libertarian card away from me or whatever. You know, at some point we need a safety net. You know, at least for a while we're going to need a safety net. So, you know, we can argue about exactly what goes on in Medicaid and how we do that, and what you do with uninsured population or uninsurable population, things like that. That's an interesting debate. But what we're doing, or what they're doing with Obamacare, especially with this, well, one, they're pushing up the population that's going to be on Medicaid. They're pushing that into higher and higher income brackets. And then what they're going to do is push everybody who's in private insurance right now, or could be in private insurance, push them into a system, the exchange system, where the federal government, the Department of Health and Human Services, is dictating the content of every single insurance plan in this country. So at that point, we call it a federal takeover of healthcare, and it really is. There's right now there's a bunch of people between the age of say 18 and 65 who are not necessarily on government dictated healthcare. And unless they're very, very poor. But once this whole thing is done, everybody is going to be on some sort of government dictated plan.
Yeah. Well, over the break, you were saying that there's something surprising that a lot of people don't know, that the first of all, you said Arizona is the last state, I think you said, to, according to the federal government, fully comply with this act. And why don't you talk about that?
Well, I just read that in the paper the other day is that Arizona supposedly is the only state that hasn't fully complied. But that's a lot of the little stuff. What is happening right now is on one of the biggest parts of this whole plan, which is the exchange system.
Right.
Arizona, through the office of Governor Jan Brewer, is setting up an Obamacare insurance exchange for Arizona. She's spending $30 million of federal money to set this thing up. She's appointed a bunch of people. We actually don't know what their salaries are. The Goldwater Institute, I think, is suing or trying to get FOIA information to find out how much they're paying these people. But you've basically got a healthcare czar, a guy who came out of the insurance lobby named Don Hughes, and he's running this whole program on behalf of Jan Brewer, spending $30 million to set up an insurance exchange. And one of the dangerous things about this, now, in a free market sense, an exchange is not necessarily a bad thing. If it was a purely free market exchange where people could go in through something like Consumer Reports and find the cheapest health insurance plan, compare them all, that all sounds good. But that's not what this is about. This is about the federal takeover of healthcare. So at the end of the day, HHS, the Federal Health and Human Services Department, is going to be dictating through the exchange exactly what's in every single insurance plan in this country, what their deductibles are, how much they can charge, what's covered, et cetera, et cetera. And so by setting up an exchange in Arizona, and this is one of the funny things, I mean, I would say that they screwed up completely by starting this whole law in the first place, this whole Obamacare, Affordable Care, whatever you – okay, so I think they screwed up. But they actually technically really screwed up when they – the people who drafted the law, they did not provide a way for the federal subsidies in Obamacare – to come through a federally created exchange. Right now, the way the law is written, the subsidies can only go through the state-created exchanges. So one of the things we would do if Jan Brewer continues, and if the legislature allows her to do it, by setting up a state Obamacare exchange here in Arizona, we will be allowing the federal subsidies to flow into Arizona. That means that soon tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Arizonans will be addicted to Obamacare subsidies. And once you get people addicted,
I like the way you say that, addicted to Obamacare.
Once you get people, face it, I mean, you know, the federal government's handing out money, it takes a lot of willpower to say no. Well, especially if you have an individual mandate and the government is telling you that you must buy insurance. At that point, okay, give me the federal subsidies. If you're going to force me to buy the product, you may as well give me some change, you know, some chump change to help buy the thing. So this is very dangerous, is that she may be actually enabling this program to survive by setting up she, meaning Jan Brewer and her people, may be actually helping Obamacare to survive.
And you know, being the lawyer that I am, it occurs to me that the legislation is you know, it's still in the courts, so it seems like it's a little premature to be setting up these exchanges, doesn't it? Am I missing something?
Unless you've got $30 million to spend on your friends in the insurance industry.
I guess that's what makes the difference.
And one of the things that might people may be thinking is, oh, won't the courts solve this in June? Well, what most people think, if those five people stay on the court and stay alive on the court, or stay alive, the five who often form a conservative majority, some days can form a conservative majority, if those five stay on the court and make it through June, what we're thinking is that they will probably strike down the individual mandate. We're not sure what they'll do beyond that.
Right.
So it could leave open the possibility that the rest of the legislation stays intact. And if Jan Brewer sets up this exchange, it may help that program limp on year after year. So if we do have this exchange and the federal subsidies are flowing through to it, that may help the thing survive.
All right. For years, we've heard our politicians say that, quote, Social Security is in a lockbox, end quote. Now we are told that benefits must be postponed and reduced. So why don't we talk about Social Security a little bit? Whatever happened to that lockbox? I think you already said that you called Now, you're saying Medicare is one of the biggest failings, but how does your organization feel about Social Security?
Well, Social Security is just fine. It's kind of like the guy who jumps off the 100th floor of a building, and as he's passing the 50th floor, you say, "Hey, how's it going?" And the guy says, "Oh, I'm doing just fine so far." You know,
yeah.
I mean, the whole thing from the beginning was a demographic time bomb waiting to happen. The whole thing is Rick Perry should have squared this one. It's a
demographic or a democratic time bomb? both.
I guess you could, you could be partisan about that. But the reality is there has been no real trust fund. It's all full of IOUs. So when that thing goes dry, the federal government will have to tax or borrow more or cut spending somewhere else in order to make up that gap. So Social Security right now over the next 75 years has something on the order of a $9 trillion unfunded liability. Now, that is relatively healthy compared to Medicare. Medicare has something like $89 trillion of unfunded liabilities. So Medicare is the really biggest thing driving this country bankrupt. But Social Security is in bad shape. And the reality is that there's an awful debate that goes on where politicians say, well, let's keep raising the retirement age and see if we can drag this thing out a few more years. We really need to change the whole thing. We need to do what Chile did, by the way, what Galveston, Texas did 30 years ago, which is to switch to private accounts where people actually own their own individual retirement accounts. And they take money instead of throwing it to the government. They take money and put it in their own accounts and own it as private property and allow that amount to accumulate so that by the time they retire, they have a lot more money than Social Security was ever going to even promise to give them.
All right. We have to take a break in about a minute. But I think when we come back from the break, we'll talk about some of these bills that are working their way through the legislature. And I know that you guys have your various positions on these bills. You call it your urgent action items for Arizona. We'll talk about some of these bills. My favorite is the zombie film handout bill. I'll have to explain what that is when we come back from the break. All right, this is Jack Wilenchek, and I'm talking to Tom Jenny from Americans for Prosperity. This is I got to get this right, Chet. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Bottoms Up, cocktail radio at its finest. Bottoms Up with Jennifer English every Friday at 7 p.m. Celebrating the great global cocktail culture one spirited sip at a time. Join Bottoms Up every Friday at 7 p.m.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan? Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. eLoan Choice has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are at all-time lows, and that means lower interest and lower payments for you. Lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting, even one day, could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time home buyers, call eLoan Choice now. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that's the best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible and discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Rates may never be this low again in your lifetime, so don't miss out. Call 800-917-3794. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. We've talked to Tom Jenny, who's the Arizona Director of Americans for Prosperity, one of the most powerful conservative groups in the nation. And before we took our break, my little teaser was that we're going to talk about some of the bills making their way through the Arizona legislature. I've got a list of them here, and I know you're prepped to discuss them, so let's get to it. First is the Truth in Spending Reform Bill. I've got a little description here. It's in the House Appropriations Committee. It's gone through, I think, the House Appropriations Committee. Needs to go to the House floor for a final vote. Do you want to talk about what this bill is about, or should I make my way through this description here?
Either way, it's good with me. I mean, Truth in Spending, the whole point of it is it's a spending limit without being a spending limit. It's more of a speed bump, and the whole point of it would be to make sure that when legislators are looking at spending more than the economy is producing, if they want to grow the budget, the state budget, faster than the economy, they need to hold a special hearing, and they need to do actually what a lot of our cities and towns do, which is to give the public 2 weeks' notice to get to the hearing, and we'll be there and we'll complain. That's what we want to do, and exert public pressure on these guys not to spend faster than the economy.
All right. So do you have a description of what the bill is going to do there?
Basically, it's just that whenever the legislature in the future, whenever the Appropriations Committee and the Finance Committee are looking at spending faster than population plus inflation, which is put out by an Economic Estimates Commission in here in Arizona, and that's basically about 5%. So the idea is, okay, Arizona's population grows by about, well, let's call it 3% a year, and inflation for the most part under Bernanke and our predecessors has been about 2% a year on CPI. Let's call it 5%. So they put out that estimate, and our point is that if the government wants to spend faster than 5% growth, if they want to grow faster than 5%, they probably ought to jump through a couple extra hurdles. And one of those, basically, we're just offering one hurdle, which is they have to give the public a notice, say, hey, we're about to do this, and you got 2 weeks to get down here as a transparency measure. You got 2 weeks notice, and we'd like to hear from you and come to a public hearing.
I like that. Yeah, my first thought is, I mean, any kind of government self-imposed restriction on spending, you know, as we both know, there's something in the Arizona Constitution that says that the state, you know, can't mount a debt. And, of course, you know, what has that ever done? The state has mounted a debt. So I don't know. It seems like you know, I don't know where any of that kind of legislation goes to begin with. But
well, this is – yeah, and I think you have a great point, which is can you really tie these guys down with constitutional mandates? We don't really know on spending limits. The truth is we don't know because we have a spending limit. We've had it since 1980 in the Arizona Constitution, but it is so high. The limit was basically set during the Carter era.
Right.
And it was such a high limit that even under Napolitano, and she went crazy with the spending, and she got some help from friends down at the legislature, even under Napolitano, we didn't get close to busting. We got a little bit close to busting that limit, but we were still, you know, under that limit, even at the peak of the spending craziness in 2006, 2007. So that's the problem. That one's never been tested. We have the feeling it'll help. The best thing is a constitutional limit. What this is not a constitutional limit. This is just an opportunity for people to come down to the legislature with plenty of notice and say, hey, don't get crazy. We watched you guys get crazy in the middle part of the last decade. There was a bunch of, you know, real estate boom, economy's smoking hot, and you guys are spending money like it's going to keep coming in. And that's exactly what they did. They spent way too much money. They got used to spending money. And then when the bottom dropped out, then they wanted to raise the taxes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one here, the Paycheck Protection for Government Employees Bill, House Bill 2103, although as you pointed out to me before, there's no reason to say the numbers. I don't think anybody's writing down, as they're driving in the car, writing down House Bill 2103. But the Paycheck Protection for Government Employees, can you tell us a little bit about this bill and what your organization wants people to know about it?
Well, the whole point of this is that we want to prohibit government employers from taking money out of an employee's paycheck for union activities, for union political activities without express annual permission. That means they would have to come back to you and say, hey, worker, do you really want to do this again? And if so, just sign on the dotted line. And so all you have to do is every year when you're at the time your contract's up or time for renewal or just you've reached a year, you'd give every employee a chance to opt out, to say, you know what, I don't like what my union has been spending money on this year. They give to candidates I don't like. They give to political causes I don't like. They support legislation I don't like. I don't want to have my money withheld from my paycheck for them this year.
Yeah. All right, so that bill would you're in favor of this bill? That's what
very much.
That's what the bill would accomplish, the Paycheck Protection for Government Employees bill. You're telling people to contact the office of House Speaker Andy Tobin to ask him to allow the Paycheck Protection bill to move into the House.
This is one of those funny things where you'd think, oh, don't we have an overwhelming Republican majority, and shouldn't something like this just sail through?
Yeah.
It is amazingly difficult, even with the kind of majority that you have. Well, first of all, we have a Republican majority. We don't necessarily have a conservative majority. So, and that's, you know,
a lot of moderate Republicans, you're saying.
There are a lot of moderate Republicans, and there's a lot of Republicans who are under intense pressure from unions in their home districts. So there's a lot of people who don't want to vote for this. And Andy Tobin may be one of them. He's the House Speaker. So he's getting a lot of pressure from somebody to hold this thing up.
So you're telling people, get a hold of Andy Tobin, tell him to put through the Paycheck Protection for Government Employees Bill, House Bill 2103, if you're taking notes. Next one is House Bill 2848, Prohibition on Government Union Release Time. It seems like we're kind of on the same subject there.
Yeah, very similar. Right now, government employees have union provided release time. They actually get paid to go and do union activities, including, by the way, going down to the legislature and pestering legislators to do pro-union legislation. The fact that that's on our dime, the taxpayer dime, should be a repugnant idea, I think, to most people. Even if you're a union member, especially if you're a private union member, isn't it kind of silly that your employer is providing funds, and in this case, the employer is ultimately is a taxpayer. So our money is being used to support a cause, again, that with which we disagree or could disagree.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking. Telling people to contact the office of Senate President Steve Pierce and ask him to make sure the union release time prohibition moves forward in the Senate. The next bill is, we've got the number here, 2826. Do we have a name for this one? Needs to go to the Senate floor soon to promote higher turnout and greater input by taxpayers, curb the dominance of spending interests in local politics, and save municipalities money by consolidating local elections with the general cycle.
We call this the November bill. We think that elections for candidates in Arizona should take place in November of even years.
That's an interesting one, yeah.
We think it's a good idea. The turnout is amazingly low in these elections that are hidden throughout the calendar. If they're in May of odd-numbered years, a lot of people don't show up to vote.
Yeah.
What we have noticed
it's like one-tenth of people who would show up for a November election will show up for the off-year ones. Yeah.
In some extreme cases, it's 10% of the normal turnout. It's ridiculously low. And what we really believe is that a lot more people should be involved in making these important decisions about who is going to rule them. And furthermore, it's also just a dollars and cents issue. If you consolidate all the elections, it's going to be a lot cheaper because you don't have to have as many elections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're telling people to contact the office of Senate President Steve Pierce, ask him to make sure that the HB 2826, which is the November bill, moves forward in the Senate. That seems like a pretty sensible idea to me. I don't know if there's a lot of resistance to that, or who would be on the other side of that?
Mainly the unions. Because the unions, the city worker unions, are the ones who show up for those elections that are hidden throughout the calendar. They show up and they call their friends and tell their friends to show up, and they're the ones who show up. And
whoever's taking advantage of, I guess, the system as it is now is going to be opposed to any kind of change, just the way it goes, huh? You've listed the Arizona Healthcare Freedom Pledge. So that's not a bill, that's just a pledge that you're asking people to sign to stop the Brewer administration from setting up an Obamacare health insurance exchange in Arizona. So we talked about that a little bit earlier on the show.
And people can go to ArizonaHealthcareFreedom.com, ArizonaHealthcareFreedom.com. You can go there and see the pledge, and you can also just click on a link there and send an email to your legislators asking them to sign that pledge. We need the legislature to stop the Brewer administration from setting up the Obamacare insurance exchange.
Yeah. I think we can finally talk about my favorite bill, which is the zombie film handout bill. Also, it's a striker to HB 2127. Let's tell listeners what the zombie film handout bill is.
Well, now the good news is that the government in this case is not actually directly necessarily subsidizing zombie movies, movies about zombies. That's the redeeming part of this whole thing. The good news is there's no guarantee that the money will actually go to zombie movies. We call it the zombie bill because you know how you shoot at a zombie or you hit him with something and he falls down and then he gets back up again.
Right.
This stupid bill just keeps getting up. It's just like we shoot it full of holes. We tell taxpayers, okay, this thing is coming through. It's this bill number, and we think it's dead, and then they sneak it onto another bill in another committee.
And it infects another committee, to use your terminology.
And it just keeps going. And right now, it's this bill is shuffling. It survived.
Groaning.
It survived a committee. It should not have survived. Now it's shuffling and groaning toward the Senate floor. We got to kill it.
Yeah, let's put down the zombie handout bill, HB 2127, forever. Unfortunately, we do have to end the show, but I want to say it's been great talking to you, Tom. Tom Jenny from Americans for Prosperity. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jack.
This is Jack Wilenchek. Stay tuned for Michael Savage. We're signing off on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
RC Fabrication has the capability to produce a never-ending variety of fiberglass, composite, and carbon fiber products, along with Gelco services for auto parts, boating accessories, fiberglass hulls, and aircraft parts with both polyester and epoxy resins. RC Fabrication can deliver short or long-run prototyping for a small batch or a large production run. Need special fiberglass, composite, carbon fiber, or Gelco parts, or a one-of-a-kind custom-designed mold? Let RC Fabrication do the job. RC Fabrication has the skill, experience, and facilities to meet your needs. Call 480-241-0102. That's 480-241-0102. Or visit them online at rcfabrication.net. Learn more about how RC Fabrication can help you. Call 480-241-0102. That's 480-241-0102.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., KFNX.